Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ina Gibson.
I'm Helen Thorne.
And who have we got today for our guest, Helen?
We've got Davinia from Raincheck, man.
Hi, Davinia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm awesome.
Awesome. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We're excited because we're doing a money special, Ellie.
Money, 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 money.
Money.
We've never done a money special.
We have not. We like money.
We do, but we're terrible at it.
We're really crap.
So thank you. Basically,
help us.
Davinia, this is just going to be you sorting out. I mean, this is just free financial advice. Just free financial advice.
Amazing.
So, yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself for us? Tell us who you are, Davinia.
Okay, so I'm Davinia and I'm the founder of Raincheck, which is a new concept in financial services that's designed exclusively for women.
Yes!
Wow!
But that, please tell me that doesn't mean like pink checkbooks and all bullshit.
No, nothing. I mean, there's a nice bit of millennial pink, but that's like an accent colour.
Right, okay.
Our main colour is the baby blue.
With marble and rose gold, I was going to say.
Our primary colour is a bit of baby blue, which I think is nice, you know? Nice and neutral.
So what's the service you offer then? Do you come around people's houses, count up the money in their piggy bank, tell them to stop buying fags? What do you do?
Well, Raincheck is basically an annual membership service. So what we do is to help women to take control of their financial futures. And we do that by offering financial education on the basis that a large part of women's challenge around money comes from the fact that we are not communicated with effectively by the financial services industry at large. So that's the first part of it. The second part...
Those guys. Whoa, they really get my goat, them financial service industry pricks.
Yeah, we're going to come on to them. The second part of it is the financial planning and the advice, which is delivered via Zoom, because it's really important to me as a Brummie that we're able to reach women right across the country. So that's delivered via video conference technology. We have a qualified and regulated female financial advisor on the basis that we recognise that women respond better to women when it comes to the sensitive topic of money. And then the third part of the service is Rainmaker community events. So all Raincheck customers are referred to as Rainmakers. And they are basically a tribe of women who are like-minded. They are wanting to take control of their lives and their finances. We bring them together wherever they live across the country. And we host really nice boutique-y events for them.
Yes. Is there wine?
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you.
There's wine. There's Prosecco. There are lovely canapés and cupcakes.
Oh, my goodness.
The first event will be in November in London.
And hardcore money chat. What?
Yeah.
We all need to be there.
The canapés are in the shape of £50 notes. Please tell me that's true. That's amazing. So why did you decide that there was this need for a service that targeted women specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of harks back to my background within the investment management industry. So I spent the last 15 years working within either investment management or professional services. And I recognise that as a marketeer, obviously being exposed to huge amounts of data about the customer base and our demographics, that women just seemed to be underrepresented. So when it came to either being clients or the money that we were managing on their behalf, for some reason, the proportion of women that we looked after was negligible. And so I felt compelled to do something about it. And I guess being a mom as well and a mother of two daughters, I have a vested interest in doing something for future generations too.
Yes!
Awesome!
I'm feeling inspired, Dawn.
Absolutely, because I've got my best friend Taz is in finance, and she went to a panel talk recently about finance and like a professional development thing, and all the people on the panel were men. And she stood up, turned on her heels and walked out and said, I would like a refund for this panel talk, and I'm not coming back until you represent women, and she said she felt high afterwards, but she's been working in finance for 20 years and we've had similar conversations. She said everything is targeted towards men. It's by men, for men.
Absolutely.
And yeah, but so why did you, I mean, knowing that, why did you want to go into finance in the first place? Does it, do you really get like, this is it, you get the buzz?
Did you just want to meet a boyfriend?
Okay, so
what motivated you? That's what I want to know. Because Ellie's come from like video games, which is all men.
Yeah,
I worked, you know, having worked in comedy, which is largely men. So you know, like it's you kind of want to kick some balls, really.
There is a bit of that. I think I have to say, as a child of the 80s, unfortunately, I don't have a really, really exciting story about why I wanted to get into finance. I was just heavily influenced by film. So, anybody remember Working Girl?
Shut up!
That's like your favourite film! Oh my god!
Do you know who the people are?
She's
Sigourney Weaver!
And I'm Sigourney Weaver!
So oh who do I get to be?
Well, unfortunately, the 80s was a different time to be here. People of color were not adequately represented in films, and I would like to apologise on behalf of all the other people. Sorry. This is what we're going to do. We're going to remake Working Girl.
Yeah, need
and you
to
are going
to
be
Harrison Ford.
That's it. Hey, it's a modern time.
Why not?
I love Working Girl. This is
yeah.
Just in case you don't believe me, this is how much I love Working Girl. You know the theme tune, the Carly Simon, let the river run, that goes over the end credits.
Yeah.
I had that played as I walked down the aisle at my wedding.
No way.
Fuck yes.
Oh my God.
And I remember like a few months before saying to my mum, she's like, have you chosen your aisle music? And I was like, yeah. And she'd never heard of Working Girl. She'd not seen the film. And I said, yeah, it's from this film, Working Girl. And she was like, what? For your wedding? And she thought it was a film about prostitution.
Of course. Yeah, but love yes. Working Girl. So yeah, I remember, although perhaps my parents shouldn't have exposed me to Working Girl at the age that I was, which was probably 6, yeah. But either way, it left a lasting impression and I wanted to be badass like that. That's really why I went into finance. I was just seduced by the idea of working with the stock market and the other thing, Trading Places with Eddie Murphy, because I was a huge Eddie Murphy fan. So in my mind, investing or the world of finance just meant kind of trading frozen concentrated orange juice,
massive,
or whatever it was.
Massive phones.
You know?
And the big radio.
You know,
radio,
just shouting.
Yeah, just getting
shouting.
On the ferry every day in a puffball skirt. Amazing.
Buy, sell, sell.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Shoulder pads,
that's
go.
That's my story.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome. So then, what was your job before you were doing Rain Check? You were a proper...
Yeah, so I was a head of marketing for an alternative investments company.
Oh, I don't even know what that is, to be honest.
So it's basically, when you think about investing, people tend to think about stock market investing, so buying and selling shares in companies. Alternative investments are basically anything other than that. So we were selling tax-efficient investing products, which sounds really boring and is, but has a very unique purpose, which I will tell people about if they ever become Rain Check customers.
Ah, there we are.
There's the
see.
Hook.
There's she the knows hook. What she's doing. That's all very good, very good.
So, I mean, like, you know, we had icons like Working Girl in the 80s, but there's been very few champions and female champions very few champions talking about money. Why do you think we are scared as women to talk about money? Or why? I mean, there's this great quote a couple of years ago from Kate Winslet, who said, you know, it's vulgar to talk about pay when there was a big pay dispute. Ellie wrote an excellent blog in retort.
Well, you know, that was the days when blogs were a thing. It was a different time. But at the time,
just,
it was very good.
They just swear on Instagram a bit. But,
yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think about? Do you think we should all be telling each other how much we earn?
Absolutely. And I think it's so funny. I think having grown up within the investment management industry and starting on a graduate scheme way back when, it was kind of drilled into us from day one, we don't talk about money. Mm. And they would, it wasn't quite written into our contracts, but it was almost not even an unspoken rule. HR would tell you on day one, you are not to discuss salary, bonuses. And then they would give you all this bullshit about, oh, well, the reason we don't want you to talk about it is because, you know, there are variances in pay and bonus for all of these different reasons that we can't explain to you. And they're really complex and obscure, when actually it's just smoke and mirrors to get people to accept less money than they deserve. Mm. And so I think it's really important that you do talk about it, because that's the only way to know if somebody that is of an equivalent grade, of an equivalent level of experience, is being paid more or less than you, and give you bargaining power so that you can negotiate something that you are worth.
Mm. In fact, I should tell you, Helen, I've been paying myself 4 times as much as you for the last 3 years. You just never take the
job. Damn it, Ellie!
So I didn't get away with it.
I think it was the gold bathroom that gave it away. We're drinking out of Ellie's Louboutins right now.
It is
strange that we feel like that's, but it's a bit like the Me Too movement. It's a bit like, and as soon as you start talking about it, the stigma's gone or the shame has gone as well.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, you know, and we're so ingrained not to ask for pay rises, just go, oh, thank you for the money. Thank you for the gratitude. Yeah. I've learnt a lot from Ellie. Ellie's been really good when we've, you know, we're freelance workers, so we only get given what we ask for or what people think we're worth rather than a salary. And often people go, oh, well, how about this? I'm like, oh, lovely. Ellie's like, no.
Yes. No.
No,
we need more than £2 each for this 2-hour show. Shan't have it.
Yeah.
But I was, that's a skill, and I've said this before, that's a skill that sort of perhaps embarrassingly I learned from men, because I did work in the games industry where most people, certainly back in the day, were men. It's changed now, but when I started out. And yeah, I would watch these men go into these appraisals and just ask for a pay rise. And I was like, you know, I was raised by cool liberal people, but we never really talked about that. And I'd sort of had, somehow got this idea that that was an embarrassing, greedy
thing.
Don't make a fuss. Don't rock the boat.
Mm.
And then they would come out and they would go, yeah. And they'd go, yeah, I got pay rise. And you go, how? And they'd go, I asked for it.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, well, that's, you know. And then also when I became a freelancer again, I was like, oh, I could ask for like £50 more, or say this is going to take me longer than you're saying. And people 9 times out of 10 would go, yeah, fair enough, have some more money.
Yes.
And I was like, wow.
This is magical. You wizard,
I know,
Ellie.
The power of asking. Mm. It's so important. I also think, and this is not necessarily a uniquely female phenomenon, but I think there's probably a cultural difference as well with the Brits. So having worked in finance, I mean, in the city, you've got people from France and Germany and Americans are not afraid, particularly American women, they will ask for more money. And so being exposed to them and being influenced by them helped me to develop my confidence around those salary negotiations, and not just at appraisal time. I think that's the other misconception, you know, feeling like, oh, you know, I've done a really good job, or three people in the team have left and we're down to a team of one, me, I'm doing all the work now and I'm, you know, punching well above my weight. Let me wait until another 9 months before I ask for a salary increase. No, like, ask at the point that you think, you know, you're delivering more value than the job necessitated.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? Like, you know, Ellie and I have got a bit of a policy about the shit sandwich, going like, you do the nicey-nicey bit and then you go for the hardcore bit and then the nicey-nicey bit.
Or sometimes we even do like good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this job sounds great. And they'll be like, yes, it, and I'll be like, yes, it does. How much money? Not enough.
And then I go, thank you so much. You really, I love your hair. or something like that. Yeah. You know, like, we just do that sort of thing. So what's your sort of strategy for asking for more money?
Well, I always feel like the first thing you've got to do is go armed with information. So there's, I mean, I guess if you're a freelancer, then it's, you know, looking within your market to go, what are other people charging? Like, am I massively underselling myself? And I think as women, we might say, so for example, for me, as a new entrepreneur, I might go, okay, well, if I'm speaking at an event and, you know, I think that I should be paid this amount of money to be, you know, to speak on this panel or whatever it might be, I will sometimes go, oh, but I'm new to the, I'm a new entrepreneur, so it's okay for me to be paid half what everyone else is paid. And I'm like, hang on a second, Dav. Raincheck is new, but you are not new to this industry. You have 15 years of experience and your experience is worth something. So I think it's, you know, recognizing your own value and what you're bringing to the table, because, you know, in the example that I'm giving about speaking, they wouldn't ask me if they didn't think that my expertise had a value. So I need to recognise it myself. That's the first thing. Of course, the second thing, as I was touching on, was just looking across the industry, looking at your peer group, whether you work for yourself or work for a company. There are loads of research reports that will say, for this grade in this industry, this is kind of the banding. This is the highest level.
Google it. Awesome.
Don't be afraid to Google it. So make sure that you're researching, and then just ask your colleagues, like a friendly colleague. Like, don't just ambush someone and be like, how much you pay? Like, it's just not by the water cooler. That's going to put people off and make them afraid of you. But just ask people that you're friendly with in the office. And then that will help you. Just go armed with information. And I think the other thing to say is, when you go into those discussions with your line manager or whoever, don't feel like a no is like a concrete no. It might be, okay, no for these reasons, but the no might actually be a not yet. So don't be afraid to go back in 3 months' time, or to be quite prescriptive with them about, okay, tell me why I can't get the pay increase now. What do I need to do to get there? And then how long do I have to wait for it? Back them into a corner, I would say.
Yes! I am feeling empowered, Helen.
Excellent.
I want a pay rise, Helen. I want a bloody pay rise.
No.
I've Googled it. And So can I ask you just a practical question for my own personal use, really? What's the deal with pensions? So I'm 41. I don't have a pension. My husband has a pension. I'm very confused about pensions. I have a stupid job. We obviously don't have a company pension scheme unless you count the jam jar I keep around my bed with 50p in it. What should I be doing? Do I need a pension, Davinia?
I think you should get a pension. It's one of the best and most tax-efficient ways of saving for later life, which sounds like a boring thing to say, but effectively it just means that the government is giving you free money. If you put your money into a pension, they will ensure that it's tax-free. They will protect it from, you know, income tax, capital gains tax. So it's just a nice and efficient way of saving for later life. And we know that all of the research, which is, this is a real downer, but research points to the fact that women, despite living longer than men, save up to 5 times less for later life. So there's a real imperative for us to just think more broadly about what we can be doing to prepare. And I think pensions are the best way to do that. You can save up to 40 grand a year tax-free, which I think is, I think that's, you know, a good place to start. I'm not suggesting that you have 40 grand that you can put into your pension.
I mean,
every
you've
year,
seen my house.
Your house is awesome. But yeah, I think, yeah, I really think that it's something that, and there are self-invested pension plans which are designed to suit freelancers, contractors, and people that are not part of occupational pension schemes. So I would start there.
So can you just Google it, or do you need a financial advisor? What should you do?
You can Google it. I would recommend that for something like a pension, that it can be worthwhile seeing a financial advisor. I'm not saying that because I'm in the business of offering financial planning advice, but I think it's useful to have someone that can look at your specific circumstances, look at, you know, how many dependents you have, where you are in your phase of life, what you're striving towards, what your goals are, and help you design something that's specifically suited to you versus you just going and picking something random off the internet and then finding when you're 60 that actually it's not doing the job.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, I've got some pensions I started ages ago, and then I get the statement every year and I go, oh fuck, it grew a bit. Like, it's actually quite handy. Yeah. And I'm like, maybe I should put some money into it. It's just something like with legal and general, or one of those sort of ones. But yeah, it is quite a handy thing. And then there's a whole lot in Australia that I've just left.
Oh wow.
No idea. But they presumably have got slightly more. But yeah, because I think the whole term investment or shares or all that sort of stuff, it feels very foreign and very scary and a little bit risky.
Yeah.
But so what sort of advice would you give our listeners? Because I know like my dad has said, oh, he's got like a stockbroker, and I'm pretty sure my mum doesn't do anything with that, but it's still, that is their money. But yeah, dad goes and sees a stockbroker and does that sort of stuff. But I don't want to be there. I don't want to be oh, you do the money stuff, honey. I want to have the knowledge and know where things are going. So, I mean, obviously, we go to raincheck.com. Yeah. But what sort of broader advice would you give to women kind of thinking about more, you know, long-term investment stuff?
I think the one thing that I would say, which I think is good news, is that women are very diligent when it comes to saving. So all the research points to the fact that women, you know, even though we hear a lot of noise about, you know, women are not investing, women lack confidence, we're risk averse, and all of this like bad press, actually we save more than men. We save at a greater rate than men. When we do invest, we outperform men. So currently we're not investing at anywhere near the same rate as men, but when we do invest, we outperform them in terms of the returns that we generate. So, you know, the reason I'm mentioning that is because I want listeners to feel that, okay, I have research and data on my side, that if I do decide to take my first step into investing, that actually I've got a good chance of doing quite well with it compared to my male counterparts. I think one thing that I would say is there is so much information out there from a personal finance perspective. It's covered in Vogue. I've seen it covered in Good Housekeeping, and it's broken down in a really straightforward and relatable way. So don't be afraid to kind of, in the usual outlets that you might look at, the usual articles or papers or whatever it is, you know, whatever media you consume, if it's Instagram or whatever else, it's presented in bite-sized chunks. So there are some really good sources that you can follow. Vestpod is one of them. Financially Fab is another one. So you can follow them on Instagram. I think they're really good at providing really, as I said, kind of bite-sized chunks of information. The other thing that I would say is that don't be afraid to start small. So from a practical perspective, I think lots of people feel overwhelmed by this idea of investing because they think, oh my gosh, it's the preserve of the wealthy. I've got to have millions of pounds or hundreds of thousands of pounds before I get started. When actually one of the best things about fintech is that all of these innovations mean that they're creating or making it more accessible for the average investor. So you can invest from as little as £1 in companies like Wealthify or Nutmeg. So there are lots of companies that are wanting to get people to invest and making it easy for you to do it from your smartphone. So I would start small and then build it up, because, of course, the power of compounding means that your £1 today is a tenner tomorrow or next year or next week. So don't be afraid to start. And then the other thing that I would say about saving in particular, so as I say, women are much better than men when it comes to saving in the first place, but don't feel like it's a buzzkill. So I think there's a psychological thing about saving where people, particularly if you live in London, which is so expensive, everything's expensive. So childcare, breathing, I think in London is super expensive.
You can do a course in breathing in London. Yeah. It will cost you money.
But it can put, I think it can put people off from going, oh my God, I'm saving for a house, or I'm already so cash strapped, my rent or my mortgage and my childcare and everything else. I just don't have the room for saving. But actually, if you think about it in percentage terms, so there's a really good rule, which is the 50-30-20 rule, which basically says if you have 50% of your outgoings that you attribute to your needs, so all of your bills, your food, your childcare, 30% to wants, so all of the things that you want to do that you like to do. So you don't feel that you're sacrificing, because I think anybody that feels that they're sacrificing, you're just not going to commit. And then you put 20% into savings and investing, and that's a nice way to help you frame what you should be doing with your money. It doesn't have to be those proportions, but it's a good place to start. So I think those are the things that I would say to get started.
What if you have some bad habits now? I used to do this, you know, when you have a baby and you're up in the middle of the night,
yeah,
and you just find yourself on Amazon or on ASOS. And then you sort of just go, eventually you go to sleep, and 3 days later, this enormous parcel that you don't even remember ordering turns up.
Oh, yeah.
Have you, even as a financial person, you've experienced of this phenomenon?
Lots.
Help me stop, Davinia.
I think with fintech, so there are Monzo, for example.
Fintech, sorry?
So basically, fintech is basically financial technology.
Okay.
So it's, the abbreviated version of that. And there are all of the... So Monzo...
That's the orange card.
Yes, this coral card, yeah, is a great example. Or Nutmeg as a robo-advisor is another example of a fintech company. And a robo-advisor is basically... It's basically an online investing account. So it enables you to invest through an app really simply. It's really straightforward. But I think...
But a robot is investing your money.
Yeah,
fucking brilliant.
Exactly.
I am one step closer to living in Westworld, which is my ultimate dream. I am getting myself a fucking robot bank manager. That is amazing. I'm in.
Oh my gosh, you made me forget the question.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah, no, I was asking about.
If you've got bad habits. So the reason I brought up fintech was to say that there are companies like Monzo that enable you to put your money into separate pots. And so that means your money is potentially ring fenced by you. So you'll establish what your financial goals are. So it might be, this is money that I'm saving for, I don't know, building an outhouse.
A robot butler.
Or I'm saving for a wedding, or I'm saving to get on the property ladder, whatever it might be. And you put your money into different pots, and it's kind of siphoned off as soon as you get paid each month. And then that money you don't touch. And then the rest of the money, if you want to be frivolous or do the random middle of the night ASOS thing, it doesn't really matter. I mean, ultimately you can send it back, but it doesn't matter because you have apportioned some money for your frivolities and your habits.
The terrible aspects of your personality, lack of self-control.
I think it's just important that you have, you know, as long as people are clear on their goals and, you know, rather than it being random, because I think that's another thing that can lead people astray or lead people to thinking, there's no point in me doing this because you're not clear on what you're striving towards. But if you know, oh, actually, this part of money is for my children's education. If you don't have children, it might be, I had an aspiration to go and write a book on a beach when I'm 45 or 50, for example. And if you know that that's what you're striving towards, then you're far less likely to be eating into that money with the habits,
yeah,
I would say.
But for a lot of people, it is about survival day to day, isn't it? Because I remember being on maternity leave, and you and I had not long started Scummy Mummies, and we just didn't make any money.
No.
We used to when we first started those shows at Hob, we used to make, I think, like £50 profit per show, and then we just spend that on wigs for the next show.
Yeah.
So like it was financially.
And we'd work all month on a show and get 50 quid at the end, but that was sort of the investment. That now we have that show that's really good,
yeah,
but we had the luxury of,
and a lot of wigs, so that's
so many wigs,
yeah,
but we had the luxury in that we had we had little boys that we could sort of leave to play, and then we'd work around it and all that sort of stuff, which I'm sure many of our listeners would identify with, that you just sort of eke out time at the time. But it's really hard. And like, there was a couple of years where we would just make that month, and then the next, and then it feels like on the first day of the month all the money went out.
Yeah,
as soon as it came in, all the and I think that was and just going fuck, how are we going to do week four?
Have you got any tips for getting through those lean times when you're really, you know?
I think, I mean, one of the things that I would say, because I'm exactly the same, everything you're saying, like, and particularly being 9 months into this journey. So Raincheck was launched 9 months ago, but, you know, as we were discussing before, you know, I feel like it's kind of existed in my head and my heart for ages. It's like my third child. And so, you know, having moved, particularly coming from a finance background and then suddenly being a startup founder, I mean, I tried to be very sensible and kind of put money away into one of these pots, you know, even while I was working and earning a full-time salary, so that I'd be able to kind of sustain myself for a good year or two afterwards. Of course, you burn through the cash really quickly because you get excited, and suddenly I'm like, I'm obsessed with the website, I'm obsessed as a marketeer, I'm obsessed with all of these elements of brand. And then you realize, oh my God, like, there's no money, and you're not generating the money that you used to. One of the things that I have found is that not spending money on office space and things like that, so being seduced by the Instagrammer, the freelance influencer lifestyle and that culture that exists on Instagram, because women are the biggest consumers of Instagram. And I know that there are times when I go on there and I'm like, oh, I need to go and work. I need to go and freelance in WeWork, or I need to be working in some cool co-working space because that's...
With lots of marble and rose gold.
Yeah.
I want cactuses all around me. This is it, you know. I want word art on every wall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You become obsessed by that. And I'm not suggesting that the listeners are like that, but there is something about... looking, you know, being quite honest and brutal with yourself and treating yourself as the company and going, okay, let me do my financial statements and look at your cash flow, do your profit and loss account, and look at your balance sheet and go, what are my assets and liabilities? And then find a way to kind of skim off any of those random things that you don't need. So for me, I used to spend probably £15 a day on lunches. I don't spend £15 a day on lunches now because I'm at home and I can eat whatever I want, and it's just part of my regular grocery bill. So that's one.
But see, if I'm at home, I just like to eat champagne and lobster for lunch every day, so it doesn't work. It's a false economy.
But there's that. The other thing that I found is that you end up with a lot of random subscriptions. When you're earning a full-time salary, there's a lot of things that you just sign up for. Like, I had an economy subscription that was running in the background. I don't even think they sent them to me in like ages, but I was still paying for that subscription. There are loads of random things, if you look at your standing orders and direct debits, that we probably wouldn't even know that we were paying for, but you just become so used to that. And that's another way to kind of cut some fat as well. And then just being creative, like doing skill swaps. So you find that when you become a freelancer or you start working for yourself, that there are other people, you become exposed to a community of other women doing similar things. There are several groups on Facebook, LinkedIn and elsewhere. And rather than you actually paying for services, you can exchange. So I can run workshops for other freelancers where, you know, I'm talking about finance, and these are some of the tips and, you know, some of the techniques that you might use to start your investment journey, for example. And in exchange, they might say, okay, well, I'll do some branding work for you, or your website could do with a bit of refresh. And I can, so I think that's another way as well. So just get creative.
Women are basically awesome.
Women are creative. We're so resourceful.
Yeah. Excellent.
Some of us. Some of us are fucking lazy and thick, let's be honest.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Can we talk about kids then? Because so I've got two little boys. You've got two. Is it two girls? Girls you've got. Mine are 4 and 7. How old are yours?
5 and almost 2. The oh. almost is important because I think at 2 it gets more fun.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Yeah, okay. It does. You know, yeah. But so I'm like, what should I be doing for their future? Because obviously they're facing Richard. When I went to university, it was free.
Yeah.
If they want to go, oh shit, son. You know, buying a house now, it seems to be impossible for the younger generation. So what, is there anything we can do to sort of, you know, what's the best thing we can do for them financially?
I mean, there are a couple of options. One is, bizarrely, a child pension.
What?
So there are children's pensions. Please Google it. Please Google
it. You're fucking making it up now. You're making it up.
There is a
you can just say anything.
Pension.
You know that we're idiots. You're just saying anything.
I promise you, there's a children's pension. Of course, they can't get access to it until they are pensioners. So that's a great way of you from day one, you can start saving for their long-term future. And that's awesome. The other thing, which I think is slightly more accessible and slightly more, relatable for people, is a junior ISA. So the junior...
I've heard of that.
So I would always recommend, particularly for a junior ISA, so of course...
It's like a child who freezes your ice lollies when it's the summertime.
So many of us have ISAs. There are cash ISAs, there are stocks and shares ISAs. The same options exist for children. Given that children don't need an emergency or a rainy day fund as we might, and we don't, and you know, we always talk about rainy day fund for adults. I always say, like, you know, roughly 3 months of your salary just to keep you tidied, just keep you going in the event of an emergency.
That's how much you should set aside.
Is
that separate to your savings, or is that like?
So I would say it should be. I always recommend that people have a stocks and shares. If you're going to take one of the two options, have a stocks and shares ISA because of the power of compounding, and you've got to think about investing
over
the long term. So compounding is basically the way that your money accumulates over a period of time.
Right.
If you've got it in cash, and you know, it'll give you an interest rate, the bank or whoever your ISA provider is will say, okay, this ISA is going to give you 1.5% interest. But if inflation is 1.8%, that means the value of your cash savings are eroded over time because the inflation will mean that it's worth less than what you've deposited.
Right.
So I would always recommend stocks and shares. You're far more likely to outperform the stock market if you invest in a stocks and shares ISA than if you put your money into cash.
But if you put it in stocks and shares, is there a risk you could lose your money?
There is a risk. And I know that. So that's the thing. I think in people's minds, that's the big looming fear that you see. What you see are the big peaks and troughs in the stock market. And you feel like, oh my God, all my money is going to be wiped out overnight. When the reality is that it's smoothed out over time. And yes, there are the peaks and troughs. They're not as wild as it might appear in Working Girl or Trading Places. But over an 18-year period, you are 99% more likely to outperform the stock market than you would be if your money was in cash. So you will generate a better return over an 18-year period. But on the and the reason that's important in the context of the junior ISA situation is that if you put your children's money or your money on behalf of your children into a junior ISA, they can't get access to it until they're 18, which is good. Although at 18, that might be problematic because it's kind of basically it's over to them.
25.
But the best thing that I would suggest, this is not financial advice, the best thing that I would suggest and what I do for my girls is to put the money into a stocks and shares ISA on the basis that it, over an 18-year period and over the long term, it will outperform cash savings.
So not a junior ISA, an actual stocks and shares.
Put it into the junior ISA. Put it into the junior ISA. So there are two different options.
So you can have a junior ISA that's
stocks and shares.
Being so informed,
I know, Ellie. I'm creating confusion.
So a junior stocks and shares.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. You get something like $4,500. You can put about $4,500 into a junior stocks and shares ISA each tax year that's completely tax free.
Okay.
Yeah. So the adult one, you can put up to £20,000 into it each year that's tax free.
But I always think like, but you know, Lehman Brothers and all of that. And
I know,
you know, I grew up in the 90s with Black Friday or whatever the fuck.
Oh, and what was the Black one, Wednesday? The Northern Lights? What was it? It all went down the shitter.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. We've had the credit crunch. We've had some big calamities.
We've had those in our lifetime. I'm always a bit like, yeah, but what if it all goes tits up, Davinia?
I know. Well, I think the thing that I would always say is when people think about investing, they always think about the stock market. But investing, there are so many different asset classes. And by asset class, I just mean different categories of investment. So cash is one that you might think of. And if you think about risk on a continuum, so from lowest risk to highest risk, equities are kind of somewhere in the middle, but then you've got bonds. So a bond might, you know, it gives you a very steady rate of income. So you'll get, it might say your bond will generate 6% for you. You'll get a dividend, or you get a coupon in bonds terminology, but you get a return. You know that it's going to be stable. And bond is effectively debt. So you will basically be lending your money to a company, the company that has issued the bond to you. And at the end of the term, so the bond might be, might last for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. At the end of the term, they will pay back your principal amount, whatever you invested, but you will have generated that income over time. So whatever the 6% or 7% or whatever the bond value is. So that's a different class of investment. And it, I don't think people think of bonds when they think of investing. All they're thinking is the scary swinging stock market. There are so many other, I mean, Bitcoin is another asset class, not one that I would recommend.
No, I don't like Bitcoin.
But there are so many different types of investment that people can select from. So that's something that I think is worth exploring. And I think it speaks to this idea that we're not as informed as we could be. And, you know, that's why I love talking to women about this, because I think it kind of, it's really enriching for me to speak to women who don't necessarily have this knowledge, and to suddenly have them feel like, oh my gosh, I get this. Like, it's really straightforward. There's no reason why I can't do this.
Yes. Apart from, of course, one day we will overthrow capitalism, Davinia, and return the means of production to the workers and redistribute wealth. So that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Of course.
But in the meantime, get a junior ISA stocks and shares.
Yes.
Okay, let's get into it, Davinia. I'm going to, I want some nuggets of wisdom, okay? If you're, you know, if you're a bit vague about your money, like me, you don't really know what you're doing, what are the top things we should be doing right now?
Okay, so the first thing, I think I mentioned earlier on that women are very diligent savers. So the, you may find that the vast majority of your listeners already have savings accounts. So if you are somebody that does have a savings account and it's in cash, move it from cash into a stocks and shares ISA. It's the most tax efficient and best way to save for the future. And it means that you're much more likely to outperform the stock market than you would be if it was in cash. So as long as you've got your emergency rainy day fund, which is the next tip, so make sure that you've got at least, I would probably say somewhere in the region of between 3 to 6 months of savings of your salary saved for any emergencies that might arise. So that's the next thing that I would say.
So again, back in the day for Helen, that would have been £150.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh my God. Yeah, because when I started out, when my baby was new, I went back to work, and after I paid the fucking nursery, I had 50 quid.
Oh my God.
I was working 3 days
so
a week.
So depressing.
And so There was no fucking ISA time for me,
no.
Davinia. And I'm sure the listener, there yeah. are listeners out there. So this is if you're not there yet.
If you're not there yet,
hold on to that.
Don't be afraid to use some of these new innovations in financial services to get you off the starting blocks. One that I really like is Moneybox. This is basically an app that you can download, and what it does is to round up every expenditure that you make on your debit card to the nearest pound. It puts that change into an account, and when it reaches a certain amount, then it's invested on your behalf. So it might be a tenner, it might be 20 quid or whatever, but straight away you're investing and you won't even notice the difference.
Fucking wizardry.
It's yeah, amazing.
It is. Magic times.
Love it. Yeah. And then the final thing that I would say for people that are working for companies, because we don't want to neglect them, so pensions auto enrolment means that in this country, the UK government will basically top up your pension contributions. It's basically free money. If you work for a company and you're earning, I think it's over £10,000, and you're at least 22, you will automatically be enrolled into your company pension scheme. Don't opt out of it if you can afford to. I know that feels excruciating. It can feel excruciating when you see how much money is going out of your paycheck, and you feel like, as we said, just breathing.
I could be spending that on Prosecco.
Exactly. But the power of compounding, and the fact that we really do need to take our retirement seriously as women for various reasons, the fact that we take time out of the workforce to have children, and then there'll be gaps and holes in our pension provision and retirement savings. It's really important that we maximise our opportunities to boost our retirement savings. And if the government are giving us an incentive to do so, we should take that incentive. So that's another thing that I would suggest.
Yes.
Boom.
Absolutely nailing
Nation.
It. Oh, awesome scenes. All right. Have we
done financial chat? We have cracked that nut, man.
I think so.
It's
I'm feeling massively rich already. So rich.
Can already see my future house made
yes.
marble yes. and gold and yes. feathers.
Millennial pink.
In the millennial pink.
Just some random peacocks
excellent.
Walking through. Anyway, let's provide some unhelpful advice with some Scummy Mummy confessions.
Yes, what a neat segue. Well done.
I know, it's very, very unhelpful. When we emailed Davinia, we said, oh, can you provide some Scummy Mummy confessions? She's like, how long you got?
So scumbag. Yeah.
Fire away.
Yeah. So, I mean, one that, like, I'm still traumatised by, particularly given, like, I'm somebody that's super tropical. Like, my house has to be, like, minimum 30 degrees at all times, and it's summer and I have like my quilt on me coming here. Yes. I had a massive coat on.
Yeah.
The reason I bring that up is to say at Christmas I was on holiday with my family in the Caribbean. I took the two girls with me, so they were then 4 and had just turned 1. Planes are freezing, so when we're leaving the Caribbean, obviously it was awesome, we're kind of basking in the sunshine and the glory of like this beautiful tropical weather. On the night we were about to leave, and, you know, you set out the children's clothes, I was being supremely organised, and I was like, yes, this is mom goals. I've got the nappies there, I've got, like, the snack pack, I've got the iPad and the entertainment. Forgot to pack, leave the clothes out that the children were going to wear on the plane to come back to London Gatwick in the freezing cold. They each had to wear flip-flops and a summer dress on the flight. Meanwhile, I had a tracksuit on. Everybody was looking at me, wondering why the girls had these flimsy summer dresses, no vest, and I was like...
And you've just wrapped them in the free...
And I just wrapped them in the free blanket.
The free, free flight. Oh, love. Well done.
Poor little things. But they survived. They survived. To tell the tale. Yeah. They're all right. Oh, well, that's pretty scummy.
I'll take it down a notch, Ellie.
Go for it.
I think I've got a wart on my ass. Yeah, and so... So the other day, I was like, I think I've got to get my husband to check. And I was just getting changed, and he's like, I said, I think I've got a wart on my ass. And he was like, well, like near the bum, you know, like near the holes. Yeah, and
like,
he was
like a satellite.
Yeah, like, yeah, like a moon. Like a, yes.
The moon of Endor.
That's right, yeah, like Saturn's ring, literally. And and he's like, do you want me to have a look? And I was like, so I had to back up. He was sitting on the bed and he could
have had his eye out.
I know, he had to have a little look, and he was like, ooh. Gotta get that looked at. I don't know why I'm sharing this. You're
enjoying it.
It was about cold children, and mine just about maybe a disease. So that's nice.
Well, but I must know the end of the story.
I've got to go to the hospital.
Get to A&E right now.
A standing for anus and E for emergency.
Can't you just burn it off with a lighter?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Get some garden shears. Yes, that's what I'd like them. I just want them to get rid of it. I don't know why it came up. And it's not one of the what do you call them? The bum grapes. It's not like that.
Not a pile.
No, it's like a lump.
Oh my god, let's not talk about piles.
Oh my god.
Oh,
inside out and upside down.
Baby number 2, hell. Oh. I was like, people have these and live? Oh. Terrible. Yeah.
I know lots of friends have talked about that. Like piles. It's no picnic.
No.
Anisole? Were you all over that?
I'm going to invest in that after this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, after talking to you, I'm going to invest in Anisole. I'm going to invest in Greggs. Greggs will never go out of fashion.
Yeah. I'm so traumatised by this convo.
Didn't we put that on the running order? Anal warts and investments. I mean...
Yeah, this is...
I think she wants a rain check on this conversation, Ellie.
I think she does.
Boom, that was a good one.
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, speaking of rain check, where can people find out more about it? Where can they follow you and all that jazz?
Quite simply, it's raincheck.com, so it's rain, like the weather, chq.com, and the same on Instagram, Twitter and LinkedIn.
So modern. Oh, Davinia, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your financial wisdom. I feel enlightened.
I know, and hopefully richer. That's what we're all here
That's
for.
What we're
money, 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 yeah. money, money.
Well, I actually, when I said I was going to the toilet, I actually went for your handbag and took out 25 quid, so I actually am richer, so thanks for that. All right.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening, as always, to the podcast. Please tell your friends, rate, review and subscribe.
And do come to our shows. We're going up and down the country, here, there and everywhere. And just go to scummymummies.com for all the live dates. And guess what, Ellie?
What, mate?
It's our book.
Oh, yeah, is it still in print?
It's still in print.
Fuck me!
Who knew?
Unbelievable.
I tell you this much about money. Don't write a fucking book.
That is an unwise investment of your time.
In terms of percentages, I'd do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're like, J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I don't know. Prostitution. Yeah,
empty a child's money box. Yeah.
But our book's great. So what else do we have to say? Follow us on Instagram at Scummy Mummies.
Please do.
And, yeah, just be nice to people.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Is that something? Yeah, that's a nice thing to say, isn't
eat
it?
Eat some vegetables.
Or don't. Depends if you don't feel like it. Don't bother. Just have some more biscuits.
Yeah, go on.
There we are. Life advice from the Scummy Mummies.
Always have a pen in your bag.
No, that's actually a really good one.
Yeah. Always take a jumper. You'll agree with me.
Yes, I will.
If you're not sure, take it. Just take the jumper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You never forget it,
do you? Winning at life, guys.
I know, great.
We're winning at life. Thanks again, Davinia.
You're welcome.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What are the top things we should be doing right now if you're a mum and, well, if just a person?
Mum or a person.
Let me say that again.
Yes. Please put that in the outtakes. If you're a mum or a person.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Whether you're a mother or whether complaints. You're an other.
Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.